So Numbers chapter 13, or yeah, 13. And next week we'll do something Christmassy till the end of the year, and we'll go through that. But for today, let's get into Numbers and just take a look and see what God has for us this morning. And again, it starts out like so many of the chapters we've done, and the Lord spoke unto Moses. He says, "Send thou men that they may search out the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall you send a man, every one a ruler among them." And so we see these things happening, and we think it's kind of strange because God has already said you're going into the land, you're going to do these things, and yet it sounds strange that God would then send spies into the land to search those things out. But it tells us this in Deuteronomy chapter 1. Starting at verse 22, he says, is Moses speaking to the people of Israel? Well, I'll pick up at verse 21. It says, "Behold, the Lord thy God has set the land before you. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of your fathers has said unto you. Fear not, neither be discouraged. And you came near unto me," as Moses speaks and rehearses these things in the people's ears of what they said. "You came near unto me, every one of you, and said, 'We will send men before us, and they shall search us out the land, and bring us word again by what way we must go up, and into what cities we shall come.' And the sayings pleased me well, and I took 12 men of you, one of a tribe." So Moses here clarifies things for us. That's why it's so important to be in the Word and to keep the Word together, because it's so important to have. But Moses said, God gave us the land. He showed us the land. He told us to go in and possess it. But you came unto me and said, "Let's send 12 guys in. Let's go search out the land and just see what it looks like." God never said it. The people wanted it, and Moses fell and succumbed to their wishes and said, "Okay, we'll send 12 guys in." God already said, "Go and take it." They just said, well, let's go look at it and see what it looks like. And folks, there's an important principle that's here. We went through it yesterday at our home Bible study celebration dinner. They're walking by sight. They're not walking by faith. Faith said, "God said this, let's go do it." Sight says, "God said it, let's go check it out and see how plausible it is. Can we really do it?" Folks, your sight will always fail you. Your faith will never fail you, because it's his faith that he's given you. It tells us in Galatians that it's the faith of the Son of God that he's given us to walk in those truths. And we walk so often by our sight rather than by our faith. And we really need to take care, especially in the days that we're in, because things are going to get harder. Things are going to get worse. Australia yesterday, at the start of Hanukkah, over 10 people, 10 Jews got killed at the lighting of the first Hanukkah candle. Two people attacked them, killed them, wounded many others. Things aren't going to get better. Things are going to continue to get worse. So we can't walk by sight. We can't walk by the fear of the things that are around us. We have to walk by faith and trust that God is real and that God is going to take care of us. Our walk matters. It matters not only in our relationship with God, but it matters to those that are around us. Because if they see us falter and be hindered by the things that are around us, it's not going to encourage them to come to faith. They're just going to say, "Well, must be faith doesn't matter. We can just walk any way we want to." But your walk matters, and it's important for us to have. So Moses lines up and he succumbs to the people. He never should have done that, but he did. So this is the result of it. And we see that there's always consequences to walking by sight, isn't there? We see these things happen. We'll see it in this chapter. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them forth from the wilderness of Paran, all those men that were heads of the children of Israel, and these are their names. And they go through the names, and you know me and names, so we'll just skip down to verse 16. And these are the names of the men which Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Hoshea, the son of Nun, Jehoshua, which is just a long version of Jesus, our Savior, our Deliverer. And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said unto them, get you up this way southward and go up into the mountain. And we think, well, God commanded him to do it. So what do you mean Moses succumbed to the people? Moses never forces us to do what he says. He gives us the privilege of walking by faith and to do it. But if we don't, there's always consequences to it. The Lord said, well, this is what you want, so therefore go and do it then. And he's never going to go against your will. And it's so important for us to realize when Jesus was here, he always said, not my will, Lord, but your will be done. And that should be the cry of our heart. That should be our cry. It shouldn't be, Lord, I want my will done, because he'll allow you to have your will done. But your will is never any good because you're walking by sight. I'm walking by sight, but we need to walk by faith. That's why he calls us in the New Testament. He tells us over and over to walk by faith and not walk by sight. And it's so hard for us to change because it's a natural thing to look at the things and then make decisions based on that rather than basing our decisions on the truth of God's word and what he's already told us. Oh, help us, Lord, in it. Because there's so many that are walking the wrong direction. They need somebody to see that's going in the right direction. So Moses sent them in verse 17 to spy out the land, to go and to do those things, to come into that place, to go into the land that God has already promised them. He's already set it up. There's already fear in the land of the people of Israel seeing what God has already done with them, the miracles that have happened, all the things that have gone on. And so there's fear in the land already. It's just waiting for the people to walk in to the land and occupy it and call it their own. Ugh. Simple, right? Wrong. No. I wish things were simple. So verse 20, it says, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time of the first ripe grapes. So the grapes were in season, they were there. And so they went up, stretched the land, searched the land from the wilderness of Zin to Rehob, as the men came to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came to Hebron. When Ahiman and Sheshai and the other guys came, they were children of Anak, which were the giants in the land. It we'll see later, but it says, now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. There's a time period in there that we see so that the historians can really picture what season of the year and what time it was. And it says that they came unto the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch of one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between the two upon a staff, and they brought it of the pomegranates and of the figs, and the place was called they called the place thereof Eshcol because of the cluster of the grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching the land after 40 days. So they come, they cut off one branch of grapes, and two of them had to carry it on a stick. Those are big grapes. A grape is a meal. Just amazing the size of the fruit that was there, the fruit that the people of Israel, and the Lord had that size there, had those things there to encourage the people of Israel. This is the way to go. This is the way to do it. Come into the land, because he's promised them that the land is full of fruit. It's full of milk and honey. It's a wonderful place. There's going to be refreshing there. There's going to be wonderful things that go on there. And it's just an encouragement for the people to go in and inhabit the land. And doesn't God always do that for you and I? I'm going before you. I'm going to prepare the place for you. And when you go, you're going to love it. You're going to think it's wonderful. And you're going to be able to go right in. But the enemy is quick to throw in a roadblock, isn't he? The Lord tells you to do something. And you say, I want to do what the Lord wants. And so you enter in. And the first thing you hit is a roadblock. It just, I don't know if I should do this. And then another roadblock, another hindrance, and you go, oh, it looks too hard now. It looks too awful. I may not be able to do it. Folks, you can't do it because God wants to inhabit your praises. He wants to be in that place where he enables you to do the things that you can't do. You can't do what God says. You need the Holy Spirit's power to do what God says because you can't do it, but God can. And he wants to show you that. He wants to show you how powerful, how big, how mighty he is. And if you don't think that God can do it, then you have a small God. We have a big God. He can do anything. What man can't do, God can do. The things that are impossible for us are possible with him because he's powerful. But it just shows that we don't trust him. Lord, I want you, but I don't trust you. Something sounds wrong with that whole thing, doesn't it? And yet we do it, don't we? And we've got to change the way we think. We've got to change the way that we act. We've got to change everything. We can't walk by sight anymore. We have to walk by faith. Because without faith, we can't please the Lord. And so we really need to be in that place where we're walking by faith more and more and walking by sight less and less. The things that we see are going to look awful unless we put God in the midst of it and God before us. And then those things look possible now to us. It's impossible for me to stop drinking. It's impossible for me to stop drugging. It's impossible for me to walk through this world and be holy and righteous without God. But with God, those things are possible. And we can do those things. Trust your God. Walk with him. Because he's come to give you a new life, a new hope, a new direction, a new ways, and new strength that you never had before. You never were able to resist temptation before. But guess what? Now you can. But so often we succumb to it because people talk us into it. Oh, that's an awful hard walk. You don't want to go to church on Sunday and Wednesday too? Are you crazy? You want to go sing to people at Parkwood? What? You can't sing. Go out and have a beer instead. It'll be better for you. No, it won't. It won't work. The only things that are going to work are the things that God says. And he tells the people to go. They say, God, we'll go, but let's send people ahead just to make sure. Let's send out spies. They didn't need spies. God has already been there. He's already seen it. He said, go in. I'll even give you the route. And they said, well, we'll pick out our own route. Isn't that what it said? They will send 12 guys in and they'll see which way we need to go up. God's already told them. They don't trust him. There's an unbelief that's going on in the tribes, and Moses has succumbed to the wishes of the people rather than just doing what God has said. Just like you and I. We can't fault Moses. We have to fault ourselves. Lord, I didn't want to. It isn't that the world is stronger. It's that we've become weak because we're not walking with our God. But when we're weak, he wants to be strong in us. But for some reason, we build a wall and we just say, no thanks, Lord. I'll go in my own strength, but I'll have help from everybody else. Folks, the people around you are not going to help you. They're going to be a hindrance. You need to walk with God. I need to walk with God. And that's our prayer for each other, that we would have the strength to trust him in it. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. We don't know what today is going to bring. We need to know what God wants for us in the midst of it. So God, help us to do that. So they go from that place. But it's interesting, in verse 25 it says, they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. How long did they walk through the wilderness? 40 years. So every day these people were in the land walking by sight, it took them a year to redeem it before they were able to go into the land. Oh boy, is there consequences to you walking by sight rather than walking by faith? It may take you a lifetime to redeem it and get out of it before you stop the consequences that come with it. Oh, that's harsh. But it just shows how bad our sin is and how awful it is when we're walking in our own strength rather than walking in God's strength. God wants to redeem you, redeem every day of your life. And we spend so many days walking by sight that we forget about God in the midst of it. And that is just so hard. Verse 26, it says, and they went and they came to Moses and to Aaron. So they've come out of the land. They're carrying this cluster of grapes. and two guys had to carry one cluster. It's just amazing. They come to Moses and to Aaron and all the congregation of Israel under the wilderness of Paran from to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. Can you imagine their hearts as they see this fruit come in? Oh, this is great. Wegmans doesn't have grapes like this. We can get our own grapes. We don't need their grapes. And they told him and said, we came into the land where you sent us. Surely it flows with milk and honey, just like God said it was going to. And this is the fruit of it. They start out really good, don't they? But nevertheless, verse 28, I hate those words sometimes. Sometimes they're great, sometimes they're awful. This is one of those awful times. Nevertheless, there's an issue. God, look at what they did. They told everybody, this is what God said. This is the way it looks, exactly like God said. But God didn't tell us about this part. God, you deceived me. Oh, no, he didn't. Nevertheless, the people that be strong, that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled. They got walls around them. They're not like us. All we got is the Lord's glory in the midst of our camp. We don't have walls around us. They didn't need walls around them. They had God. He surrounded them. He put a hedge around them and protected them, a hedge that others couldn't break through. You can break through walls. You can't break through God's hedge. Oh, not even Satan can oversee that unless God allows it. The cities are walled and they're very great. Not just big, they're very great. Do you hear their hearts? You can almost sense their hearts just sinking in their chest and just going, there's no way we're going to beat the enemy. And folks, you all have enemies. And sometimes you just sit there and feel, I just can't beat the enemy anymore. I'm too weak. I've been through it too long. I just want to give up and surrender. I can't do this one more day. The walls are very great. God, I don't know if your strength is enough to overtake that. Oh, if he can form you and keep you all these years that he's kept you, don't you think that he can keep you through one more trial? Mm-hmm. Yes, he can, and he will. That's the love that he has for us. And they says at the end of verse 28, and moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, the children of the giant. And the Amaleks dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and the coast of Jordan. All these people are there. They're enemies. Oh, it's just too much for us. There's nothing too big that God can't break it down. And Caleb, thank goodness for Caleb and Joshua. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let's go up at once and possess it. Do you hear the difference in tone? Caleb's just a happy camper. He's just bouncing up and down on the side. He's probably ADD or something. He's just waiting for things to happen. And we read later on that when he was 85 years old, when they finally did go into the land, that he wanted the mountains. At 85, he wanted to go up and conquer the people of the mountain. This guy had to have ADD. He had to be super hyper. It's just, wow. Caleb stilled the people. He tried to give a right answer for the things that were before them because he was walking with the Lord in this. Not everybody that went into the land to spy it out came back with unbelief. Caleb and Joshua come back with belief. You know what's interesting? We remember the names of Caleb and Joshua, don't we? Do you remember the names of the other 10 that went in? Don't have a clue. I mean, they're there at the start of the chapter. How come we don't remember their names? Because God's hand wasn't upon them. They were walking in their own strength. But Caleb and Joshua were walking in the strength of the Lord. That's why we remember their names. And God remembers their names. And God promotes them before the people. The others died before they ever got in the land. But Caleb and Joshua were the only two out of those 12 that went into the land and possessed it. The other 10 died before they got there because of unbelief. Their walk was important, just like your walk is important. And you know who it was important to? It was certainly important to Caleb and Joshua, wasn't it? It was important to their families. You know who else it was important to? the nation of Israel. It affected the whole nation. Folks, you think you're nothing. You think you're unworthy. You think you don't have anything. But you know what? Your walk could affect the whole nation of America if you walk rightly and justly and righteously before your God. You can affect the city of Rochester. You can affect the people that you minister to, at your workplace, the place where you live, the things that are going on. You can affect them by who you are and the way that you stand in these evil days. It's important. You may not see the fruit of it, but you know what? There's going to be fruit there. You just may not see it till you get home to heaven and God shows you that fruit. But there is going to be fruit by your righteousness. Don't doubt it. Don't despise how small it is. It's huge to God, and He notices. Stand strong in your families. Stand strong in your neighborhood. Stand strong in your workplace. Stand strong in this body here. Because we need Calebs and Joshuas in this body, don't we? We don't need the other guys that we don't even remember their names of. We don't need them. We need Caleb and Joshua. We need people who are going to stand strong in God's word and walk in the truth of it, no matter what anybody else says. God, the people in the church say this, but you said this. I'm going your way. Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let's go up at once and possess it, for we're well able to overcome it. With us and God, we can overcome this whole thing." Oh, isn't it wonderful that there are people who say that we can overcome by the power of the blood of the Lamb? We can overcome these issues that are before us because God is with us. That's what we need to have in our own lives. That's what we need to have with the people that are around us. But the men that went up with him said, "Oh, no, 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 no." You know what? There's no people. There's yes people. There's people that say yes to God. There's people that say no to God. They're not saying no to Caleb. They're saying no to God. Ooh, you know what? You don't want to say no to God. It's not a good place to be. Remember Peter with the Lord? Peter looks at him and says, "No, Lord, that's not going to happen." And the Lord says, "Get behind me, Satan. When I say something, you don't say no back to me. Peter, you have to learn." And it sounds harsh, doesn't it, what he said to Peter, but you know what? It grew Peter in grace and in the faith of who God was, and he became a mighty apostle for the Lord by learning and growing in it. "Lord, I said no to you once. I don't want to say no to you ever again." Ah, that's a great heart. It's a great teaching. It's a great lesson to learn for all of us. But the men that went up with him, verse 31, said, we be not able to go up against the people, for they're stronger than we are." Who said so? It doesn't say anywhere that during those 40 days they had any fights. How do they know they were stronger? Because they lifted weights while they were watching them or something? Had no clue. They were walking by sight and not by faith. Verse 32 says, "And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched of the children of Israel." God sent them to bring a good report. They bring an evil report. Folks, there's going to be people around you, and they could be people in the church. They could be people in your family. They could be people in your nation who are going to bring an evil report to what God says is good. It tells us that in Scripture, doesn't it? They call evil good and good evil. What do we see in America? They're calling evil good and good evil. Ooh, a dangerous place to be, because judgment is going to come upon that. And I think God is already judging our nation. We just haven't seen the fullness of that judgment come yet. But it's here. But you don't want to have that judgment come upon you. I don't want that judgment to come upon you. That's our prayer for you, that you would walk straight, that you would walk in His power, in His might, in His way, in His will. That's our prayer for you guys. That's our prayer for us. Lord, help us not to falter or go out of the way. Help us to believe what you say. Because you know what? If you doubt that God could get them into the land, you're going to doubt that God is coming back in the rapture. You're going to doubt that God can take you to heaven. And pretty soon your faith is going to be so small that you're going to say, "Well, I used to love the Lord, but I don't love the Lord anymore because I don't think He's real." And if you think that you won't say that, just keep doubting. Because the more you doubt, the more you're not going to believe. Ugh, that's scary, isn't it? Because I want to believe the promises of God. I don't want to doubt him. They wandered for 40 years, a place where their clothes didn't wear out, their shoes didn't wear out. They always had food every single day. They had everything that God had for them, but they never entered the promised land because of unbelief. Folks, don't doubt who God is. Don't doubt what he says. He has so much for you, and he just wants to bless you. They brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it, it's a land that eats up the inhabitants thereof. They're cannibals in their land. And all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. You hear what they said? In our own sight. We're looking again, and we're seeing these giants. You know what? Your government can be a giant. The laws that the government's making can be giants. But you know what? God is still bigger. He can still overrule all of that. It doesn't matter what they say. It matters what God says. And we trust him. And it says, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. And so we were in their sight. Twice in this one verse, sight. Sight, walking by sight. Oh, Lord, forgive us. You know what? One commentator put it this way. The 10 of the spies saw foes. Joshua, Caleb saw fruit. 10 of the spies saw giants. Joshua and Caleb saw an opportunity. 10 of the spies saw walls, and their faith fell. 2 of them had faith and saw the walls fall. Because what's happened, the first thing they went into Jericho, which was the first city they ran into when they went across the Jordan, the walls fell down. And it wasn't because they pushed on them. They just walked around them, and the walls fell down. Isn't that a great battle? Nobody got killed in the Israelites. Nobody got hurt. They just walked around the walls. And the walls fall down because they believed, they trusted. There's nothing too big in your life that God can't deal with. There's no hurt that's too big that God can't take care of. There's no depression in your life that's too big for God to heal and encourage and strengthen and comfort. There's a lot of hurt in this world. There's a lot of hurt that we're going to go through, but God can heal each hurt and minister to each hurt and bring comfort to you so that you can go one more day. It's hard. It's a hard world out there. And people without God, even some people with God, are struggling, especially during the season of the year. We've heard of a couple folks who aren't going out of their house during this Christmas season. The whole month of December is pretty much shot for them because they can't go out of the house because they got hurt around Christmas, and they won't go back again. They're not letting God heal. They're not letting God bring strength to them that they can get through this and go the next day. And keep our daughter Lisa in prayer, because our grandson died a couple of years ago, right before Christmas. She hurts. She cries constantly. She needs Jesus. Pray for her. God is working, but it's taken a long time. You know what? Don't let a long time bother you. Let God do it in his time and bring that comfort to you that he wants to have. You may think, this is an awful time. I can't do anything. I don't want to do it anymore. But God wants you to, because he's still got you here. Look at these walks. And I've got a ton of verses, and I probably won't go through all of them because there's too many. But it says this in Psalm 56:13. If you want to write them down and look at them later, you can. But I'll go through them. It says there, the psalmist says, "For you have delivered my soul from death. Will you not deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living?" Help me to walk in the light, Lord, is what the psalmist is saying. And that should be our prayer. Lord, help me to walk in your light. Help me to walk in the light that you have for me, because he's the light of the world. In Psalm 84, verse 11, he says, "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord God will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." And there's over 200 places in Scripture where they talk about walking. I'm not going to go through all 200. I'm just going to do 199 of them. So don't worry. It's okay. In Psalm 143, verse 8, it says this, cause me to hear your loving kindness. David writing this psalm, and what does he say? Lord, help me to hear. You think, David, you heard all the time. And yet sometimes his ears got plugged, didn't it? Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in you do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. That's a great prayer, folks. Help me to know the way that I need to walk in this faith that I have now in who you are. Because I've never walked this way before. I never walked with God before. How do I walk? Lord, show me. For I lift up my soul unto you. He tells us this in the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 25. He says this, he that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hates his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Oh, Lord, you're the one that's going to keep me. You're the one that's going to grow me. You're the one that's going to have me in this place. Do you love your life? Then walk with the Lord. Because that's where that love is. You know how many people hate their life? We see it, especially now with this transgender thing that's going through the world. They don't love their life. They hate their life because they hate who they are. That's the lie of the enemy. We should be loving this life. But God, cancer? God, death in the family? God, disease? God, surgery? But those are all opportunities for God to work in your life to show you his love for you, so that you can have a better life, so that you can have a better mindset as you go through and walk through it. His walk for you is so awesome. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, it says this, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Gee, I think we've been there all this time. We walk by faith. We don't walk by sight as the Lord continues to teach. Isn't it amazing that the Lord teaches the churches how to do it? He has to write letters to the churches to tell them you need to be walking by faith and not by sight. But you know what? We all need to hear it because we don't know otherwise. That's why being in the Word is so important, because you see that and you go, wait a second. If I'm supposed to walk by faith, why am I walking by sight? Why am I trusting me rather than God? You're trusting your own life with yourself. I hate to tell you, you're going to fail yourself. You're not going to be good to yourself, because we're not. We're in these natural bodies with these natural minds, and we always want destruction. We always want the wrong things. That's why we need to walk by faith, because God always has a better way. It's always a good way for us. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, it says this, for you were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the Lord. Walk in that way that would represent your Lord. In Colossians, in chapter 1, verse 10, it says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. As you walk, you're going to bear fruit in your life. There's going to be fruit that's going to be born. You're going to have more peace than you ever had before. There's going to be more patience. You're going to have love for those people that you never had love for. We all know family gatherings can be wonderful or they can be awful, depending on the relative that's there. Oh, no. It's Aunt Rosie again. It's Uncle Harry again. He's so perverted, he's awful. I don't even want to get near them. And God's going to give you a love and a compassion for them. And you're going to go, what is up with this? I almost love those people. Ah, you know what? You're getting the heart of God. And he's loving on you. And he wants to bless you. It's just amazing what this walk will do if you allow it to be his walk and not your walk. And I can't walk in your shoes because I would never make it. But you know what? He's made your walk to be just perfect for you. You can do it with him and in him and in his strength and power and might. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1, and we'll finish up with this and just wrap it up. And he says, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. There's going to be an abounding in your life of grace and mercy and peace. And it's, again, that's for your walk. It's not for my walk. It's for your walk. Because your walk is going to be different than my walk. But it's all going to be, we're all going to be looking at the same person. We're all going to be looking at him and seeing him and knowing him. I don't know how your walk is today. You may feel like you're stumbling a lot. You know what? God can pick up your feet. Because we all fall down. But the word says that he picks us up. And he ministers to us in the midst of it. You may fall down. But God is going to be gracious to pick you up. He's not going to leave you there. The enemy will leave you there and he'll walk all over you. But God wants to pick you up and refresh you and restore you. So, Father, as we prepare our hearts to take communion, help us, Lord, as we look back on our walk, as we see what our walk has done. We've seen what the walk that Israel had in the dangers of walking in the wrong direction, walking in the wrong way does. Lord, help us to have a walk that's worthy of your calling, that's worthy of who you are. Father, we don't want to walk in our own strength anymore. We've seen what it's done. We've have consequences from our sin that still haunts us because of our walk in the past. But now we have a new walk that's been redeemed. And Lord, thank you for redeeming that walk for us. But help us to walk rightly in it, Lord. Help us not to doubt. We see the people of Israel, they came out, they were saved, they were walking, and yet then they decided not to believe God anymore. Father, we see that there's a danger there for each and every one of us. Lord, help us not to doubt your word and the truth of it, but instead to walk in the truth of it, Lord. So help us with that. We need your strength. We need your Holy Spirit to do that. We can't do it in our own strength. We need your strength to do that. So teach us, Lord, and show us. And as we sit before you, show us how we're walking, Lord, and show us the strength that you have for us that we can walk better. We love you. We thank you. And we ask that you just minister to us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, Father, we come this morning just realizing how important our walk is, Lord, and that our walk not only affects us, it affects those around us. It can affect the whole country, Lord. And we've seen what the walk of those before us in our country have done, some good, some bad. But, Father, we want to have an impact for good for those that are around us, Lord. So help us with it. If you've challenged us this morning, Father, then help us to accept that challenge. If you've shown us, Lord, that we've been walking in the wrong direction this morning, then, Father, may we repent and turn and walk your way. But, Lord, no matter what you've told us this morning, we realize that it's all done in the power of your might, that it's because of your finished work in you, Lord, that's done all these things for us, that we can now walk uprightly, that we couldn't do that before because we had no forgiveness. We had no way of being forgiven. But you, Lord, have forgiven us because of the work on the cross. And we're just so thankful that you've done that for us, Lord. May we look to you and rely on you and trust you even more than we ever have before. We remember what you've done for us, Father. We hold in our hand these elements. We hold this bread, broken, pierced, just speaking of your body that was broken, your body that was pierced for us. We hold this cup with the juice that just represents your blood being poured out for us, for the forgiveness of sin. So thank you, Lord, for the hope that we have in what you've done, that it's a sure hope. It's a right hope. And Father, we remember as we take these what you've done so that we can stand even stronger and walk in the right way even better, Lord. Help us with it. We need you. We need you every day, Lord. So thank you for loving us. We thank you for this time. And we ask that you just bless, Lord, as we take these now in remembrance of you and what you've done. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's partake.